I'm certainly glad of it. So turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 17 is where we'll be for the last time today. We've been working through John chapter 17, this high priestly prayer of Jesus, what some people would call the Lord's Prayer, as again, as we've stated over the past couple of weeks, is a peek into the very heart of Jesus and to understand him all the more. If we want to understand his love and we want to understand his love for us, then we really need to understand what John chapter 17 is trying to demonstrate to us. I encourage you sometime, just sit down and read through chapter 17. Just read straight through it and just imagine, if you will, Jesus pouring his heart out to his Heavenly Father during that time. This is the concluding portion of that prayer. We've seen how in the beginning, what Jesus and the Father are one and how they share in the glory of God. And we talked about how unique that was. As God is a jealous God, he is to share his glory with no one. He deserves it all. He's the creator. As we just sang just a few moments ago, he's the one that is to shine, not so much us. We're to let people see the light of Christ in us. And we'll actually talk more about that in just a few minutes. We saw last week how Jesus prayed for the believers of his time. And we use that prayer, even though it was a prayer specifically for the disciples of his day, to see the kind of heart that Jesus has for those that do believe in him. And we saw that, we have tried to apply that to our lives last week as we have come together, when we came together. But today, Jesus begins praying for those who will believe in the future. We're going to see all three elements of the prayer coming together. We'll see the glory of God in here. We'll see the glory that he desires to be evident in the believers. We'll see the unity that he wants to have in the church, where the those that believe should be one. And if you remember last week, we were talking about one in the name of the Father, how we all come together in the name of God. That's our common element. So it ends nicely in these last six or seven verses of John chapter 17. Think about it, if you will. In this, we see the believer's relationship to the glory of God being demonstrated. That's what we'll read in just a moment. What role do you have in his glory? How do you respond to the glory of God? When Isaiah witnessed the glory of God, what happened to him? He fell down and he felt unworthy. He said, "Woe is me." And he recognized his own sinfulness in the presence of a pure and holy God. Well, when Moses experienced the glory of God, his face shone. Remember that? So much so that he had to wear a veil to cover the glory of God as the glory was fading as time went by. I submit to you this morning that the glory of God that is in your life is not meant to fade. But we are to declare the glory of God for all to see. That's what we're trying to do this morning with We Declare Your Majesty. That's what we're trying to do when we worship the God, our God together. This is what we mean when we sing, "You shine." We want to declare the glory of God for all to see. Now let's look at our text. John chapter 17, beginning in the 20th verse. Says this, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, and are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they might be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them." Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your amazing grace, and we thank you for your love and the incredible glory of God that can be seen in the lives of all believers. Moses had to conceal the fact that the glory was fading. But Lord, let the glory of God never fade in our lives. Let it be there for all to see. Lord, we thank you for this text. We ask you to bless the reading of it. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I knew a lady once in our community who came to church here, and I went to visit this lady, and perhaps some of you maybe went on that visit with me when I went to that home. It was kind of interesting. It was a brand new red convertible that she had. And no, it's not Sarah in a red convertible. Different red convertible, I promise you. Now, I went to visit her and was interested about why she came to the church. What brought her to First Baptist Church of Morrisville? Was she new to the area? Had she been here a while? You know, all these things. And this was the response I had that I received. The Lord let me get this brand new red convertible, and I told him if I could get this convertible, I'd go to church. And she came to church in her red convertible for about a month or two. But then the newness of the convertible faded. The glory of the purchase that she had faded, and no longer was she interested in coming to church again. Nelda, I had a dream last night. Where's Nelda at? She in here somewhere? I don't know. Okay, there she is. I had a dream last night, Nelda. I have some weird dreams, so don't be shocked by this. But it didn't make a lot of sense at the time, but we were having an extended song service for some reason. The choir was singing, the congregation was singing, and we got right in the middle of it, and everything just fell apart. And I said, we got to find somewhere we can start back. So I started to proceed back to the sound booth to meet with Sarah to figure out where on the CD we could start. I don't know if it was a cantata or what it was. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, we just messed all this up. And then somebody stopped me in the aisle on the way there, and he told me, Pastor Myron, I want to give my life to the Lord. I thought, what? Everything is just messed up. And then I turned around again. There's somebody else. I want to give my life to the Lord. And somebody else said, and I had people waiting all around me. I'm thinking, find somebody to help share the gospel with these people. They were hungry for the gospel. It was exciting. Oh, that could happen in a service today. It could happen in a service today. But people were excited about knowing God, just as you were when you first came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've done that in your life. But it seems like over time, that glory, that excitement, that joy fades. I think our text this morning shows us four ways that we can keep the glory of God alive in our lives. How we can make it evident in our lives so that no one can deny it. But the first way we see is in the first two verses, and simply is this. The responsibility of the believer is to share the glory of God. The responsibility of the believer is to share the glory of God. That the more you share something, the more it's going to stay alive within your heart and in your life. We had a funeral service here yesterday, a memorial service yesterday afternoon for Doris Jean Kennedy, Bonnie's daughter, Vicky's sister and Janet's sister. We had a nice service here in the sanctuary. I had a great meal over in the fellowship hall afterwards. And I can't think of very many funeral services where I have said, if you want to keep somebody's memory alive, what you do is share stories about that individual with other people. You don't put them on the back burner. You don't just forget about them. You keep talking about them, and it keeps that person, in a sense, alive in your heart. The responsibility of the believer is to share the glory of God. The more you share it, the more alive it's going to be in your own life and in your own heart. Verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. So it makes it clear that this prayer is for those who will believe at a future time. If one of my popular study Bibles I like to use is the Nelson Study Bible. If you look in the study notes there, it says he's clearly talking about those who believe in Christ today. He's talking about you. In this prayer, he had you on his mind. He's praying for those who will believe because of the word. You have heard the word. You believed. He's praying for you right now. He's already lifted this prayer for you. But there's something key happening in this section right here. The key here is that they will believe because of their word. Last week, we talked about being bound together in his word. Remember that? We talked about the word of God. Jesus said, I have given them your word. They have obeyed your word. We talked about all that in the last few verses. But now the focus has changed. And instead of talking about his word, verse 20 says that they will believe in me through their word. It goes from His word to their word. Now, how did that happen? Well, Jesus said that He has given them His word. He said that earlier in the prayer. So now, it is the testimony of the believers to take God's word, which is now within them, and God's word that is now within us, out into the world so that they can believe. That's our responsibility, to share our testimony. Our word is what God has placed within us through His word. So when we're sharing things, we're not sharing things on our own ability and our own authority, but on the authority of the word of God. It says, he's praying for those who will believe in Him through their word, through their testimony of the word of God. So that's how we win people to the Lord. That's how we share the gospel with people. We tell people about the word of God and what God has shared with us. He goes on to say in verse 21 that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. That they all may be bound together, that they all may be one. And we talked about that commonality last week as we were together. Together in God, in His name, it says in us. So they're all unified together, that the world may believe that You sent Me. Every other verse in this text of this prayer that I read this morning has a phrase similar to that. Look at it again. That this world may believe that You sent Me, verse 21. Down in the middle part of verse 23, that the world may know that You sent Me. Verse 25, that these have known that You sent Me. What's the key here is demonstrating His relationship with God and His role as God. It's important for people to know that Jesus is sent from God. Jesus is the Savior of the world, in whom there's no salvation, but no other name but the name of Jesus. But believers, now it's your word to share. Will you share in the responsibility to share the glory of God? Will that keep it alive in your heart? Will that keep the word of God and the salvation that God has given you burning within your heart because you're sharing it with other people? I believe that it will. But there's a second thing. Secondly, the reflection of the believer is to show the glory of God. The reflection of the believer is to show the glory of God. Look at verse 22. It says the following. And the glory with which You gave Me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as We are one. Verse 22 is stating that Jesus has given the believers the glory which the Father had given them. What does that mean? Well, we just talked about the fact that God is a jealous God. He shares His glory with no one except for the Son. And how is it that the glory of God can be found in a believer? Well, the reflection of the believer is to show the glory of God. So when people look at us, they are to see the glory of God, a reflection of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, or are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Let me read that again. And we who with unveiled faces, we all reflect the Lord's glory, and are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So people see Christ in us. The reflection of God is found within us and is demonstrating the glory of God. Have you ever seen a time when the reflection was greater than the source? You think that's kind of ridiculous. How could that be? How can the reflection be greater than the source? Well, I remember one time we were driving to church one day. We were coming from Wake Forest in the early days, coming to church, and we came across a lake somewhere, and the sun was going down, and it was the time of day you could actually look at the sun. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem that bright. You can almost look at it. But then the reflection on the water of the sun, what was this long. You know how it gets long when it gets ready down, when it comes down across the water? And it was so bright, it was as bright as the sun, but it was longer, so it was even brighter. It was magnified. How many times have you heard we're to magnify the name of Jesus? We're to let people see His glory. Think about a flashlight and a flash bulb. How many of you go around, the kids like to do this, they look right into a flashlight and make the pupils dilate. You know, every parent says, no, you're not supposed to do that, you're going to hurt yourself. You never look into a flashlight. But you know, if you just look at that bulb, there's not much to that bulb. But what happens is you got this reflector behind it, and that reflector takes the light of that bulb and it focuses it in the direction that it needs to go. It's a reflection of the glory of that bulb. The little reflectors on the highway, aren't you glad that they came up with those things? Those are great. They help out in rainy weather. You know what I'm talking about? I remember the first time I saw it, I thought it was one. I got one. Sarah's Jeep broke down on the side of the road a few years ago, and I was waiting on the tow truck, and I found one in the woods. So I've got one. I don't know where it is, but I got one. But I remember thinking, you know, that those things help out the drivers a lot, don't they? But how would you like to have the job, listen, to change the batteries in those things? Wouldn't that be terrible? I have to go down on the highway, and every 20 feet, you got another AA battery to put in, another AA battery, and another. Wouldn't that be a hard job to have? Aren't you glad you don't work for the DOT? They don't have batteries? Well, how do they light up then? They have no power in themselves. They just reflect the glory that shine on them. I knew that. Folks, that's what we are to be. It's not a battery found inside of us. I know there's no batteries in those reflectors. But listen, when the lights of the headlight shines on it, it illuminates the road and leads to safety. Folks, you got no power in yourself. The power in you is the power of God. And we will reflect things. What we're doing is reflecting the glory of God. See, I'm not that crazy. I'm not that dumb. All right. But it's a great thing. What is it to be focused on? Well, the next verse, I think it tells us, verse 23. It says, I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Three things right there. Yeah, we are to reflect the glory of God in these ways. One is that we can be made perfect in one. The unity that comes to being in Christ is what we are to reflect. So when people see us, they need to see unity in our lives because we are one in Christ. Secondly, that the world may know that Jesus is God. Again, we've seen that over and over and over again, and that's the purpose. John even says it over in the first, second, third John over there. You know, first John, he says, these things I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. If you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son of God, you do not have life. These things I'm telling you that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, how is that? Because you know the Son, you know Jesus, you know God. And thirdly, they need to know that they're loved by God. That's the focus. The lens is pointing that way. That's what's reflecting these three things, the unity, the fact that Jesus was indeed God in the flesh walking on the earth, and that they are loved by God. When we show the glory of God, this is what's reflected in our lives. The first point was more of a verbal testimony, taking God's word that He's planted within our heart. I will hide God's word in my heart, that I will not sin against you. And we take His word and tell people about His wonderful love for us. The second point is more of a living testimony. After all, the Bible says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And that's done as we see that Christ likeness within us, as we reflect the glory of God. The reflection of the believer is to show the glory of God. Thirdly, verse 24, the residence of the believer is dwelling in the glory of God. The residence of the believer is dwelling in the glory of God. This is where we abide. This is where we are going to dwell for all eternity. Look at verse 24. For, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants the believer to be where he is, and he wants them to behold his glory. A glory that was there in the beginning of time, before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants us to dwell in his glory. What does that mean? What does it look like? Well, think about what Revelation chapter 22 says. Verse 4 through 6 says these, and they shall see his face. This is eternity now. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no light there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They need no lamp or a light of sun. What does that mean? For the Lord God gives them the light. All the splendor and glory of the heavens are going to be outdone by the glory of God. The Bible says that God created the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and that's the sun and the moon. But something even greater than the greatest light is coming up. It's Jesus, and His glory is going to illuminate all of glory. This is when believers, and where the believers, will dwell for all of eternity. And notice the last phrase there, before the foundation of the world. This demonstrates a love that is sure. People are amazed by the longevity of things. People are amazed when they come across an old building or an old artifact. When we went to some of us went to go see the Dead Sea Scrolls. I was amazed to see 2,000-year-old paper. Fragments of paper that the scrolls, the words were written on those scrolls. It was an amazing thing to witness something that old. I was telling somebody yesterday at the funeral service we had here, they were admiring the sanctuary. And I said, you know, that sanctuary was built in 1884. We're in a very old building. And that impresses a lot of people. Well, when you meet somebody that's 100 years old or getting close to 100 years old, like your mama there, you're impressed by that. You're impressed by the longevity of that person. That it just represents stability for some reason. The love of God goes back to the foundation of the world. And this is the same love that God gives to each and every one of us. Folks, that's amazing. That we can know the love of God in such a real way, a love that is so ancient, but yet so real in the lives of those who trust in Him. When you know God loves you that much, how can the glory fade? We will reside in His love. We will dwell in His glory forever. Finally, the resolve of the believer is to declare the glory of God. The resolve of the believer is to declare the glory of God. The resolve is what it all boils down to. This is it. I am resolved no longer to linger. This is it. I've made up my mind. This is what we need to do. And this is where we need to be today, folks. We need to resolve to declare the glory of God, that we're going to declare it, just as the Word of God says we should. Well, we want to declare the glory of God. Verse 25 says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. Think about it. We know that he was sent from God. We've talked about that several times already. John chapter 6, verse 29, when Jesus was asked, what works must we do that we can inherit the kingdom of God? Do you remember what the answer is? That Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is what you need to do. You need to believe in him whom he sent. So if we're going to declare the glory of God, then we're going to believe in the one whom he sent, then that is Jesus. We trust in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We don't listen to the politically correct crowd today that says, well, as long as you believe something sincerely, God's going to honor that. It doesn't matter if it's Allah. It doesn't matter. Was that you telling me about the bumper sticker? As for me and my house, we will serve Allah, is what she saw on a bumper sticker the other day. It don't matter what you call God. You can call him Jesus. You can call him Muhammad. You can call him Buddha. It doesn't matter what you call him. As long as you have a sincere faith, God's going to recognize that. No, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved. His name is Jesus. If you want to do the work of God that it takes to get to heaven, the work is you believe in him who he sent. You believe in Jesus. And that's what we've got to declare, church. It's not a popular theme today, but that's what the Bible says, and that's what we need to stick with. It says, the world's not known him, but I've known you, and these have known. Because what? We know better. We know that he was sent from God, verse 26. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love of God with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. He's declared the Father's name to us, and we are to declare his name to the world. John chapter 14, verse 6, you're familiar with this. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, there's no other way. Jesus said we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. So we declare his name to the world. We're to know that he was sent from God. So we know in our heart that he is God in the flesh. And we trust in the name of Jesus. We declare his name to those that are in the world and let people hear it. And finally, we know that God's eternal love is with us. You see that there in that last verse? That we'll declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. God's eternal love is with us. This is what we need to declare to others, and it's also what we need to declare to our own hearts and be reminded every once in a while. As I said a little while ago, with the kind of love that God has for us, how can we not keep our glory from fading? How can we not let the glory of God radiate to all who sees us? They're going to know there's something different about us. They know there's a hope. They know there's a peace about us. Like I said at the beginning of the service, God loves us, warts and all. Aren't you glad he has that kind of love for you and for me? I am. Oh, the responsibility of the believers to share the glory of God. We share the glory of God. It's your responsibility. The reflection of the believer is to show the glory of God. We let the glory of God be seen in you. The residence of the believer is dwelling in the glory of God. We've got it made for all of eternity. But the resolve of the believer is to declare the glory of God. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Musicians, go ahead and come up. We're going to sing the song, the second hymn that we sang a little while ago.